most of us, maybe even all of us, are Christians. I won't ask for a show of hands. Most of us, maybe all of us, are Christians. Most of us, maybe all of us, have professed faith in Christ and have committed our lives to following Him. Most of us, and maybe all of us, would probably affirm that being Christian is, or at least should be, theoretically, the controlling reality of our lives. Everything about our lives should fall under the heading of we are Christians. And that permeates everything about how we live. We would probably all affirm that's at least the way it should be. We would probably all acknowledge that to be Christian means that we are Christian all the time. That we are Christian in every way. That there is never a moment when we are not Christian. There is never a time when we are not Christian. There is never a thought that should not be Christian. There is never a motive that is not Christian. There is never a word that is not Christian. That's the way it should be. I think most of us would agree. But that leads me to ask a question. I wonder how seriously we really take our Christian experience. How seriously do we really take our Christian experience? Now, some of us have made a lot of progress in our experience as Christians. Some of us have. Some of us have made a lot of progress. Some of us have made a little progress. Others of us really need to start thinking about getting started on trying to make some progress. Some of us have made more progress at being Christian than we think we have. Others of us have made less progress than we think we have. I have noticed this, and of course I can't judge people's hearts. All I can go by is what I see, and my eyes are as flawed as anybody else's, but seems to me likely that a lot of the people who think they have made the most progress being Christian have probably made less than they think they have, and a lot of those who think they've made very little progress at being Christian have probably made more than they think they have. It has to do with humility, which is a subject for another day. I don't know which of the categories I've named you are in. Whether you're one of those who's made a lot of progress, has made a little progress, and needs to start making progress, I don't know which category you're in. You may not know which category you're in. But I do know this. I know that no matter how far along the road to Christian maturity we are, we all have a long way to go. No matter how far we have traveled down the road, we all have a long way to go toward becoming fully mature Christians. No matter how far down the road toward Christian maturity we have gone, we all need to make more progress. We all have a long way to go. So hear the good news for today. Hear today's good news. We can, in fact, keep on growing in the Christian experience. We can, in fact, keep making progress in being Christians. We can, in fact, go a long way toward becoming well-formed, mature Christian people. It should happen. It should happen in our lives. And it can happen. There's the good news. It can happen. It can happen by the grace of God. Because it is by the grace of God that we are saved, and it is by the grace of God that we can mature and grow as Christian believers. It can happen, and it should happen, because of the saving activity of the God who has revealed God's self to us as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. Let's think about the gospel text that we read a moment ago. That text is set on the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested. He'll be crucified tomorrow. This is the eve of Good Friday when Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples. And what he's doing is he's telling his disciples what he wants to make sure they know before he departs. He has told them that he is getting ready to leave them. And now he's telling them things that he wants them to know before he departs. And his words to them, as we would expect, are both challenging and encouraging. Now, I want you to keep in mind that these are the people who have been with him. These are the disciples who have followed Jesus most closely. These are the ones who have been with Jesus throughout his ministry. They have heard the words that he has said. They have seen the mighty acts that he has done. They should, and they probably do, know more about Jesus than anybody else in the world at that point. They probably do, and they should know more, actually know Jesus better than anybody else in the world does at that point. And now, on this last night that he spends with them, Jesus tells his disciples even more about himself and about their relationship with him. He tells them things like about how he is the vine and they are the branches. He talks about how there is a new commandment he is giving them, that they love one another. He is telling them all kinds of things about how they can continue to grow in their relationship with him. But now he says to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Try to put yourself in their place. They are the ones who have been following Jesus around for 3 years. They are the ones who have hung on every word he said, have been amazed at all the things he has done. If anybody is a mature believer, it is these men that have been following Jesus for all this time. And what does Jesus say to them? Jesus looks them in the eye and says, well, there's still a lot I'd like to tell you, but you're not ready. You can't handle it. You're not ready for it. There's more you need to know, but you're just not equipped to hear it yet. And you can imagine the question that must have gone through their minds. Okay, now wait. Jesus, you just told us that you're going away, that you're not going to be with us anymore. Now you tell us that there's more you want to tell us, but you can't tell us yet. If you're about to be gone, who's going to tell us? Who's going to tell us? Well, the answer is the Holy Spirit will tell them what they need to know. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to know. The Holy Spirit is God with us just as surely as Jesus was God with us. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells the disciples, will tell you what you need to know. Well, the Holy Spirit will also tell us what we need to know. The Spirit has always told God's people what they need to know, and the Spirit will always tell God's people what they need to know. That's the Spirit's role, and the Spirit does what the Spirit is supposed to do. The question is, do we do what we are supposed to do? The Holy Spirit speaks, but the question is, do we listen? Do we listen to what the Spirit says to us? The Holy Spirit has been speaking now for over 2,000 years. I wonder how well Christians over those 2,000 years have really listened to the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything about that, so let me just bring it home to us. Are we listening to the Spirit now? Right here, right now, in this moment, are we listening to the Spirit? Are we listening to what God wants us to know? Let me come at this from a slightly different angle. I want us to think together about how blessed we are to be Christians. What a blessing it is to be Christian. I want us to think about the wonder of the grace of God by which we are saved. Let's think about the privilege of having the Holy Spirit with us, in us, among us. Let's think about the opportunity that we have to grow in the Christian experience. Let's think right now in this moment about how blessed we are to be Christian, how blessed we are to have experienced the grace of God, how blessed we are to be saved by God's grace. Let's think about how blessed we are to have the opportunity to grow in our experience of being Christian. Let's think about all these things right here, right now, in this moment. And then let's commit ourselves to thinking about them all the time from now on. How much do you think about how good God is to you? How good God has been to us? At the heart of our faith lies the truth that God has revealed God's self to us. Now stop and think about that a second. We're talking Almighty God, creator of all there is, creator of the universe, of everything. Here we are, these little specks on this little planet, lost in the cosmos. And God thinks about us. And when God thinks about us, God loves us. And when God loves us enough to send God's only Son into this world to live and die and rise again, that we might know salvation, that we might know God. God sent Jesus and God sent the Spirit because God wants us to know God. And God wants us to be known by us. That's an amazing thing. It's amazing enough that God gives us any thought at all. But it's triply and quadruply amazing that when God thinks of us, God loves us, and that God loved us enough to send God's Son to us. God has revealed God's self in so many different ways, but God ultimately revealed God's self to us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. God revealed God's will and way to the Son. The Son lived out that will and way all the way through the cross and the empty tomb. And then God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to remind us of what Jesus said. There's another place in John's gospel where Jesus says that. He says, "The Holy Spirit will remind you of what I have said." But the Holy Spirit also leads us to practice discernment. So we can determine who God wants us to be and how God wants us to live. The Spirit helps us to know what it means for us to be followers of Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but things have changed. You noticed that? You noticed how the world keeps changing and you noticed how, I was going to say new problems keep cropping up. Maybe they're just new versions of the same old problems. I don't know. But you've noticed, haven't you? And God gives us the Spirit so that we can discern who we ought to be, so that we can discern how we ought to live, and especially so that we can discern how we ought to love. In the midst of a changing world, in the midst of all these changing circumstances. You see, the Spirit helps us know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The Spirit will always lead us to be true to the ways of Jesus. The Spirit will always lead us to grow in our love for God and in our love for people. How do you know whether you're listening to the Spirit right or not? Well, if the Spirit that you're listening to is not leading you to follow in the ways of Jesus, if the Spirit that you're listening to is not leading you to grow in the ways of love and compassion and grace, then it's likely a different Spirit that you're listening to. God, in God's grace, has revealed God's self through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit so we can know God. That's how much God wants to be known by us. God has revealed God's self through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit so that we can relate to God. God has revealed God's self through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit so that we can have peace with God. Think of how blessed we are, how wonderful an opportunity we have. God invites us into relationship with God. God invites us to grow in that relationship with God. How good God is to give us such opportunities. How amazing it is that God gives us such opportunities. How unfortunate it is if we fail to take advantage of them. But how blessed we are if we do take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us. So you might wonder, how might these opportunities that God in God's grace has given us inspire us to live? Well, on the one hand, I don't know. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. I mean, because every person is different and every person has their own relationship with God through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And you really do have to learn to think for yourself and discern for yourself and learn for yourself and grow for yourself. You really do. You really do. All of us really do. But me being a preacher, I do have some suggestions. Because the opportunities that God has given us to have a relationship with God and grow in our relationship with God should inspire us to try to live our lives in ways that open us up to that relationship and that open us up to growing in that relationship with God. So, for example, the opportunities God has given us should inspire us to pray. And not just to pray in terms of giving God a list of what we want, but to pray in opening up in conversation and communion with God. The opportunities God has given us to grow in relationship with Him should inspire us to read and study our Bible, because that's where we're going to learn what we need to know to follow Jesus and to do what we need to do. The opportunities God has given us should inspire us to meditate. Now, I'm not sitting around talking about, you know, just gazing off into space, but to try to think about the love of God, to be thankful for the love of God, and to focus in your meditation on the love of God. They could inspire us to read good spiritual writings. Find writers that can really speak to your heart and read them. The opportunities God in God's grace has given us can inspire us to serve, whether it's in vacation Bible school or any other number of other ways. In other words, and in short, all the opportunities that God has given us to grow in our relationship with Him can inspire us to be so moved by all that God has done to bring us into relationship with God, that we will do everything we can, always inspired by the grace of God. We will do everything we can to grow in our relationship with God. You see, God in God's fullness, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in God's fullness invites us and enables us to relate to God in God's fullness. Now, we won't fully do so this side of heaven. long as we're in this world, we're never going to fully mature. We're never going to know God as fully as we will one of these days. But we can, by the grace of God, always be moving toward being more fully who we can and should be as God's children and as Jesus' followers. We really can keep on growing in the Christian experience. We really can keep growing in our knowledge of God. God in God's fullness invites us into a relationship with God that's always becoming more full, more complete, more mature. It's just too good an opportunity to pass up. It is such an opportunity, such a wonderful opportunity to get to know God better and better and better and better. It's just too good an opportunity to pass up. Isn't it? Isn't it? We're going to sing a hymn.